My two favorite people in the world are David and your pastor. Not in that order either. But, well, we prayed for you. Man, we were scared and worried. You look good for a dead man. It's an absolute, I'm joking, but it's an absolute miracle, and we're grateful for that. And thank you for all these years of service, and what a great example you've been to me and to others around the country. And I Brother Howes loved you. Brother Howes, he thought the world of you. Didn't think much of David, but he thought a lot of you. And, poor David, there's more to come. don't waste your sorry too soon. Back there on the table, I have sermon CDs, and I have Dr. Hiles on Let's Go Soul Winning. It's his actual, from his album, put on the CD. A fellow in Tennessee found it in a garage sale and called me, and he said, Pastor, I've got this album that's an award-winning album. What do I do with it? I said, man, put that thing on a CD and send it to me. And so I've been taking it all over the country. It's actually Brother Hiles, and it's award-winning. Hard to believe a fundamental preacher winning an award like that, a Grammy. But it's back there on the table, and then some sermons back there. Two brand new books, Trial by Fire, a 384-page hardback book on Satan's attack on independent Baptists. You've got to have it. You've just got to have it. I don't make any money off these books. I put the money right back into writing new books. I'm just about finished with a new book on Sunday school that'll be coming out this fall, but that's back there on the table. And then Jack Howes, the communicator. I traveled with him 22 years. I was a part of the first four-year class of Howes Anderson College. I worked for him. My wife was Dr. Evans' secretary, so I know whereof I speak. And so this will help you. This is not for preachers. This is for anybody about the skills of communication. A Sunday school teacher or just an average person, a husband or wife, could use some of the principles out of here. I hope you'd get it. And then back there for 11 years, we published the Baptist Magazine, and we have copies back there. And they're just $1 a piece. Quit being so tight and spend some money, would you? $1 a piece back there, so you go back there. All right, take your Bibles, boys and girls. And if you wouldn't, open to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. I want you to get your pen out, and I want you to write some things down. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. There was a doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher that went hunting. They all shot at a deer. They argued over who killed it. The lawyer said he did because he was the best shot. Doctor said, well, I'll do the autopsy and tell. He looked at the deer and said, well, the preacher killed it. They said, how do you know? Because it went in one ear and out the other. That's the way we feel. But anyway, Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. If you have that, let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And thank you for coming to Sunday school. My book, I hope you'll buy this book on Sunday school coming out this fall, because I went back to 1959 to 1972, and I worked with C.W. Fisk, Jim Lyons, and Mrs. Hiles on this, to go back to those years before there was a Hiles Anderson College. Brother Hiles had the world's largest Sunday school before Hiles Anderson ever got started, and most people don't realize that. So I went back to those days and took those Bible principles that he used back then to explain about the importance of Sunday school. He did not receive an award for the world's largest church. He received an award for the world's largest Sunday school. And some people have missed the heartbeat of it, but by you coming this morning, you've caught it. You see the importance of it, and I hope that you'll continue to do so. Luke 11, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Now, that's a good point right there, isn't it? Having a place to pray. I flew into town. Went to the motel. The first thing I do is find me a place, because I'm out of town, my prayer place. I've got to find a place. It's something about having a particular place to be. When you go to work, you go where the boss tells you to go. You go over here. You go over here. And if you're going to be a productive employee, you'll do what the boss says. All right? Certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, now underline this, teach us to pray. Now, they heard him preach, but they never said, teach us how to preach. They heard him teach, but they never said here, Lord, teach us how to teach. Of all the things, and you understand they were hooked at the hip for 3 years. You understand that, don't you? I mean, everywhere Jesus went, these guys went. And of all the things that they saw him do, greatest children's worker in the world was Jesus. But they never said that. They said, of all the things, Lord, if you don't mind, would you talk to us about this prayer life you have between you and your father? They wanted that prayer life between themselves and the Father. So I'm going to talk to you this morning on this subject, seven doors to answered prayer. Seven doors to answered prayer. So I hope you get, there are more than that, but it's just some I've come across in studying my Bible. So I want you to get a pen out, I want you to write it down, and I believe there's some things here that'll help you. Father, help me this morning. Lord, I love this pastor. I just admire him all these years, and thousands of people will be in heaven because of this dear man of God. And I do not stand here and take this opportunity lightly. This is not my pulpit, this is his pulpit. And these are not my people. These are your people pastored by your man. So you help me now to help them to put one more brick of truth in the wall of life. This is no accident that the pastors invited me to come. There's a purpose, there's a plan. You had it in mind. We don't know, but you do. So use us now, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I think that if we were to say honestly and be just perfectly honest with ourselves, that we're the weakest at, it's our prayer life. We go soul winning, we read our Bibles, we try to live a separated life from the world to let folks know we have a testimony for Christ. But honestly, if we were honest with ourselves, the biggest deficit in our spiritual life is that in our prayer life. And it just ought not to be. Prayer ought to be the kind of a thing you look forward to. But I'm afraid sometimes we get so used. A husband and wife drive down the road. They don't talk to each other for an hour. And one grunt means potty break. Two grunts means McDonald's. You just watch it. If you go home today at noon, you're sitting at the dinner table, and the husband, and you won't even talk to each other, and then he'll rattle that tea glass. You know what that means? Fill it up, honey. Fill it up. Now, somewhere in there, we just, if we're not careful, our marriage relationship, our parental relationships, any relationship we have will die, will become stale. Same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He lives in you. Did you talk to him this morning? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Just not even talk to your wife. Now, your mother-in-law, I can understand. I could understand. Did you hear about the guy, his mother-in-law got sick, and lo and behold, she didn't die. And they went to the funeral. And the man was sitting there next to his wife, and all of a sudden the husband started crying. And she looked over and said, "You did love mother too, didn't you?" He said, "No, I thought I saw her move." But anyway, but please don't misunderstand. I love my wife's mother-in-law. Now, a little slow back there. Now, so this matter of prayer is communications, what it is. Sometimes people jump all over, "Oh, that sinner's prayer. You fundamentalists use that sinner's prayer." The prayer doesn't save. Prayer is communication. A lawyer says to the judge, "I pray the court." What he said, "Can I communicate with you now, judge?" And when you pray, you're saying, "Jesus, I want to communicate with you." It's not the words that save, it's the faith in Christ that saves. Now, prayer. Write this down. This is what John Rice said, and I think it's a great statement, and this will open the door. Prayer is asking and receiving. Dr. John Rice, one of the greatest books on prayer you'll ever find. Here's what he said. Prayer is asking and receiving. It's not just asking. The reason you're so frustrated with your prayer life is because you asked something and you didn't get it, and now you got mad. Now, let me give you three things that God does when it comes to your prayer life. Here's how he answers. Are you ready? Number one, yes. Now, that's what we're looking for, aren't we? Yes. Number two, no. No. Number three, not now. So when you in your prayer life take things to God, he is going to answer one of three ways. He's going to say to you, yes. He's going to say to you, no. Or he's going to say to you, not now. Do you realize that when he refers to us, he says, "My little children"? I don't care how old you are, you're a child in the sight and the presence of your Heavenly Father. So don't act like, "Well, I've been around here a lot longer than they have, and I know so much more." You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. And you get to thinking that stuff about yourself. That's where ego and pride and pharisaical attitudes come in, and you'll ruin your life. Always be teachable. The thing about Jack Hiles that I love more than anything else was he was teachable. I traveled with him 22 years. We'd go into churches. He'd pick up little things, put in his Bible. One day, going back to the motel, I said, why are you picking all that up? Oh, he said, "A great ideas out here." He said, "I pick them up and put them in a book and sell it back to them." Now, prayer is, you're not going to laugh, are you? Prayer is asking and receiving, okay? Now, that's important. Let me give you something that I did with our children to try to build this up. I took two fish bowls, and I filled one fish bowl up with marbles. You're too young. You know what they are. Do you still look, do kids still play with marbles? I don't know. Anybody here know what marbles are? Oh, you're saved. But as a kid, we'd go out and we'd play marbles with our friends and you know, try to knock it out. And so I came back one day, not with one sack, but two sacks. And my mama said, "Where'd you get that second sack?" I said, "Mama, there's a new game out there. It's called Keepers." She looked at me. She said, "No, that's gambling." And she made me take the marbles back. I'm still mad at her. But what I do is take that bowl and fill it up with marbles. And this one was empty. Every time we got a prayer answered, we would take a marble out and put it in the other bowl, because kids need visuals. And when my kids would look up, they did not discouraged about the majority of the marbles being in the bowl. They looked at the two or three and said, "Wow, we got an answer this week." So they weren't discouraged. You're discouraged because you've got a prayer list and you're not keeping up with the, and you're not thanking God for the answers that you got. Now, if your Heavenly Father says, "Do you know?" Now, don't you think He knows better than you? Well, don't get mad at Him. You act like a little baby. You know, all the babies are not in the nursery. I'm looking at some right now. We just don't have Pampers big enough for you. Oh, that was funny there. Now, so please understand, now talk to me. Prayer is asking and receiving. I can't hear you. Prayer is asking and? I still can't hear you. Prayer is asking and receiving. So you have to understand both. Now, when God says yes, hallelujah, glory to God. If He says no, hallelujah, glory to God. That was good for me. If He says not now, for example, walking down the hallway, Bob was just, I guess, maybe five or six, standing on a chair. His face was lathered up and had a razor in his hand. Whoa. And so we ran in and grabbed that razor out of his hand. My wife was just about in tears. I said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, I'm Davin. Now, do you think he was mature enough to Dave? I don't think so. He'd hurt himself. Well, there's a lot of things you want that just doesn't hurt you. You know that. Russell Anderson, multimillionaire. How come you're not? Because God says, "It'd ruin you." And I don't want to ruin you. I love you. But you just keep harping. "I want to be another Russell Anderson." Why don't you just be what God made you to be? So understand prayers, asking, and receiving. All right, let me give you the doors. Number one, the door of faith. I'm going to give you doors. The Bible says you can knock on that door and God will answer. God will answer. Now, don't forget now, His answers may be yes, may be no, and it may be not now. A young preacher graduates from Bible college. "I want a big church now." "No, no, not now, not now." "I want a big ministry now." "No, no, no, not now." Yes, no, not now. I had an airplane pilot, American Airlines, came to me, and he said, "God told me to leave my wife and marry this stewardess I work with." I laughed because I, just like you did just then, I thought it was funny. I thought the guy was ribbing me. He was serious as a heart attack. And so I said, "You're serious?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "How do you know this? Show me the chapter and verse in the Bible." "Oh, no." He said, "It's a voice. It's an audible voice." And I looked at him and said, "You know what? Come here. Get real close. You're nuts." "Amen." I know a psychiatrist, Christian psychiatrist, and I'm going to send you to him. And you go to him. He never would go to him. End up wrecking his life and just making a mess out of his life. Now, what do you think God's answer was to him? No. Because it's outside the boundaries of the Word of God. If you can picture a basketball game going on, and 1 second to go, and a guy goes for a three-pointer, and he hits the thing, but his foot's out of bounds, what's the referee going to do? No good. Now, you have to understand, same thing's true with the Bible. Outside of the Word of God, no good. No good. For your good, it's no good. All right? Now, turn to Matthew 9 and verse 29. First door now is the door of faith. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. In Matthew 9 and verse 29, the scripture says this. Then, Matthew 9, verse 29, talking about two blind men here. All right? Then, Jesus touching their eyes. Then touched He their eyes, Matthew 9, 29, saying, "According to your" what? "Faith." All right? Now say it with me now. "According to your faith, be it unto you." Not the faith of someone next to you, but your faith. So that's a door you can knock on that God will open the door. Now, if He opens the door, He may say yes, He may say no, He may say not now. But you have every right to, by faith, to do that. All right? With that in mind, turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, I know you know the verse, but I want you to look at it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The Bible says this, Romans 10, 17. So, if I move too quickly, I apologize, just write the reference down. Romans 10, 17. For then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. All right? So faith cometh by what? Hearing. All right? Is there a difference between hearing and listening? Okay. Husband comes home. He eats his supper. Wife fixes it. And they go into the living room. They sit down. And the husband's reading the paper. And the wife's over here. And she's talking to him. And finally, there's no response. So she said, "Are you listening to me?" And he said, "I heard every word you said." Now, there's a difference between him hearing every word you said and listening to what you said. And then you women, you're terrible. You say, "What did I say?" it's not fair. Now, so please understand, faith cometh by hearing. I can't. Faith cometh by? Okay. Some of you, are this Sunday school lesson right now, your minds are I don't know where they are, a Jupiter, Mars, I don't know. But it's like those old radios where you turn the dial to try to get that station just right. Some of you, this is the way you hear a Sunday school lesson. It's just not tuned. You're listening, but you're not hearing. Same thing is true with preaching. You can hear listen to a sermon and hear it, but if you don't listen, it's not going to help you. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now watch this carefully. More Bible, more faith. Is that how you put the two together? More Bible, more what? Faith. Less Bible, less what? Well, I'll declare. So apparently then your faith is, that door of faith depends upon your reading of the Bible, and not just reading it, but hearing it. When you read your Bible, you may not get a bunch of things, but you ought to get one thing. Tom Malone said, I was with him preaching, and a guy had a question and answer, said, "How long do you read your Bible?" He said, "I read my Bible till my heart burns." Now, it may be one verse. Now, I know we say read your Bible through in 1 year. I don't know where we got that from. I've looked for verses on the Bible to try to verify it. I think it's okay, I'd rather you read till you got something. And then write it down. God needs to speak to you. All right, now what does that do? It builds your faith. All right, watch it. More Bible, more what? Faith. More Bible, more what? Less Bible, less what? Now, faith is consumable, which means it's like a box of Kleenex. You take that box of Kleenex, pull the Kleenex out, blow your nose, you don't put it back in the box. Faith is meant for you to consume it today. Faith is meant for you to, you read something in the Word of God, then you step out and obey that and do it. Now you've got to take the next step, faith unto faith, the Bible says. So you take then the next step in faith, which is based on the Word of God. The reason you don't have much faith, some of you are asking amiss. You're consuming it upon your lust because you don't know the Bible. If you'd read the Bible, and that's why Satan's got all these 1,000 versions out there. He don't want you to read the Bible. He wants you to just read a Bible. That way you're grabbing air. You have no substance. All right? So please understand, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. More Bible, more what? More Bible, more what? Less Bible, less what? Don't answer this, but did you read your Bible this morning? Oh, but it's Sunday. And we'll go to church, and we'll have a Sunday school teacher, and they'll teach us the Word of God. When Kimberly, our first baby, was born, the most beautiful baby I've ever seen, by the way. Second, close to the first. Third, close to the second. The fourth one, well, okay. Now, my wife said to me, "What did we have?" I said, "A lizard." Now, that's terrible, isn't it? That's horrible. But you should have seen him. Now, somewhere in here, you need to understand what's happening. When our faith is built up, then we're able to do something based on that faith. But if we ask amiss, we're not going to get what God intended for us to get. Don't forget, the answers are what? The answers are, you done forgot it. This is the dumbest class I've ever taught. First answer is what? Yes. Second answer is? Nope. Third is what? Not now. So don't get mad if you say, "Well, I found it in the Bible, but God's not." Okay. He may say yes. He may say no. And he may say not now. All right. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. All right. Now, number two, the second door. So read your Bible. The more Bible you read, the more conscious you are of things you can ask directly from God for God to do it. Is it God's will any should perish? No, but you have a Bible verse for that. You got it? Is he going to bless your tithes and offerings? Going to do it by faith? Going to give it by faith? Absolutely. It's in the Word of God. All right? Now, let's turn to Matthew 18 and verse 19. Matthew 18 and verse 19. Matthew 18 and verse 19. The second door is the door of agreement. The door of agreement that's found in the Bible. These are doors that God will open. He said so. He said he would. If there's faith involved in his word of God, he will open that door. Now, he may not give it to you now. He may say no. He may say yes. All right? Now, Matthew 18, verse 19. Matthew 18, verse 19, the scripture says, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my heavenly Father, which is in heaven." Now, a companion verse. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 12. Romans chapter 1 and verse 12. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, there's a statement that's made here. Romans 1, verse 12. And explains now, gives us a little light on Matthew 18, 19. Romans 1:12, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the," and here it is, "mutual faith, both of you and me." Jot this down. I'd give it to you, but we don't have enough time for you to find it. Amos 3:3. That's just before Andy. Amos 3:3. Thank you for laughing. Now, Amos 3:3, so how can two walk together except they be agreed? It's not the agreement that causes the mutual faith. It's the walking that causes the mutual faith. So when he talks about if two shall agree, what does that mean? Oh, grab somebody in the pew and say, "I've got this problem and I want you to agree with me. Let's go down to the altar and you agree with me and God has to answer because Matthew 18, 19 says so." No, that's not what it means. What it means is mutual faith, walking together. A husband and wife have every right to claim Matthew 18, 19 and come to the altar and say, "We have children. We want to raise them. We're carrying the same burden. We're walking together. Thus we are agreed." Two church members can pray for revival in their church. Come to pray, "Oh God, send the Holy Ghost of God, send revival." Why? Both church members carrying the same burden. Two bus workers can get together and pray for the bus ministry. You got it? Two Americans can pray for America. You got it? Two Sunday school teachers can pray for the Sunday school. You see, it's carrying the burden in walking together that causes the agreement. And then when you find, okay, perfect example. When Dr. Hiles was trying to purchase Hiles Anderson College, he needed $2.5 million. He was preaching with Dr. Rice. He said to Dr. Rice, "After the service tonight, can we get together and let's pray about that $2.5 million? Dr. Rice said, "Yes, we can." After the service, they met in the motel room, got on their knees. Dr. Rice was to pray first. You know what he prayed? He prayed for the sword of the Lord. He prayed for subscriptions. He prayed for a sick staff member. He prayed for this. 15 minutes later, he finished. Dr. Hiles said, when they finished, said, "Hey, wait a minute, Dr. Rice, I got to have $2.5 million. That's why we're here. We're agreeing on that." Dr. Rice said, I'm sorry. And he got back on his knees. Well, you know what he prayed for? Sword of the Lord, subscriptions, and so on. He was no more concerned about $2.5 million than Dr. Hiles was about the sword at that time. You understand? You take, this is, you have every right as a husband and wife. And that's why your prayer life together, heirs and joint heirs together. Your prayer is hindered when you don't pray together about the same thing and claim that verse. God, we've got children. We're worried about these children. God, you've got to help us. Now, every time you pray, you get God's attention. God will drop the hammer on whoever you're praying for. You got a lost loved one? It's not God's will that they perish, right? So couldn't a husband and wife get together and pray, "God, save our brother"? Couldn't you do that? Now, what you do is you get God's attention. God, like that. I had an older brother, Edward. Edward, in his 30s before he got saved. Edward would... He wouldn't go. If we went to visit him, he wouldn't go to church. Nothing. He didn't want nothing to do with God. And one day, my mama called. My mama cried. "Oh, I don't want Edward to go to hell." Mama called, and she said, "You're not going to believe this. Edward got saved today." I said, "He did? Yeah." So next time I saw Edward, I said, "Edward, what caused you to get saved?" He said, "Couldn't sleep. Toss and turn at night." He said, I bought. You wouldn't believe it. He said, "The insurance I bought, I knew I was going to die. I knew I was going to go to hell. Couldn't close my eyes." You know what that was? That was mama praying. Every time mama prayed, drop the hammer on it. You think he'd tell us? You weren't about to tell us. "I'm under conviction. Pray for me." No, he was shunning us and shunning anything about God. But he got saved. Why? Because we as a family prayed. When we prayed, God dropped the hammer. Now, they're not about to tell you. How many have a lost loved one? You have a lost loved one? Pray. Pray. Get God's attention. Not God's will any should perish. That's Bible. And when you pray, God dropped the hammer on them. Now, they'll not tell you, but there'll be conviction there. You got it? All right. First door is the door of what?
Faith.
Faith. I can't hear you. Door of what?
Faith.
All right, this door of faith. So what do we do? We pray, read the Bible, faith is built, and then we pray and ask God for that which we see by faith. We see it's in the Bible. By faith, we're claiming it. God says that's a door you can open. Second door is a door of what?
Agreement.
Oh, grab somebody from the pew, throw them down the altar, say, you're going to agree with me. Is that what it means? No. Talking about mutual faith, walking together, carrying the same burden. Number three, the door of prayer and fasting. The door of prayer and fasting. Turn to Mark chapter 9 with me, please. Mark chapter 9. The door of prayer and fasting. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 29. Mark 9 and verse 29. This is the son that had a the Bible says, a dumb and a deaf spirit, and they couldn't do anything with him. And so they came to Jesus. Jesus said this in verse 29. Mark 9, verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind. Brother Howes, fantastic sermon. You ought to get it on this kind, the tough kind. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Not just prayer. You got to add fasting to it. Now, what does that mean? All right. As we walk through life, we hold on to the sense world and the spiritual world. That's just normal. Tomorrow when you go to work, you got to go to work for the man. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. So you can still talk to God, still hold on to the sense world, hold on to the spiritual world. That's just part of life. That's it. When I'm in the world just like you are, flying on airplanes. I hear everything in the world. This guy next to me on the flight coming down kept talking about Jesus. So I leaned over and I said, man, it's good to meet a believer. And he said, what? I said, I heard you over here talking about Jesus. I said, I got saved at age 11. Best thing ever happened to me. When did you get saved? Anyway, he felt led to go to the bathroom. So sense world and the spiritual, that's part of it. But boy, when you come to a tough kind, God says you let go of the sense world. And you turn and give your attention to the spiritual. You give God your full attention. You understand? Now, we think fasting is just food. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a husband and wife can refrain themselves from each other for prayer, for a purpose, getting something from God. For example, I hate fishing. I despise fishing. If you love fishing, God bless you. Someday you will get right with God. But I hate fishing. Get out there and sit on that stupid boat or that bank. Now, my wife loves it. God bless her. Sit on that bank and that bobber out there. 2 hours later, oh, I think it moved. I got ants in my pants. I've got to be doing something. And my son loves it. Now for me to give up fishing is nothing. That wouldn't impress God at all. For my son to give it up would be impressive. He loves it. In fact, he loves it like I used to love golf. But I quit playing golf because it don't cut the grass where I play. all right. Prayer, Dr. Rice said, prayer is asking and what?
Receiving.
I can't hear you. Prayer is asking and what?
Receiving.
I can't hear you. Prayer is asking and what?
Receiving.
Receiving. I can't hear you. Prayer is asking and?
Receiving.
Receiving. Don't holler at me. All right. So understand then, it's both, isn't it? You're discouraged because you got a bunch of things you're asking for and nothing's happening. You're mad about it. No. Look at what God has answered. And then consider that it's yes, no, or not now. All right. First door I gave you is a door of what?
Faith.
Second door is the door of what?
Agreement.
Third door is the door of prayer and fasting. Number four, the door of Jesus' name. The door of Jesus' name. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verses 12, verses 13, 14, and 15. John chapter 14, verses 13, 14, and 15. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, there's a tie here between the commandments and the name. And here's what he's saying. He's saying you could ask. One time I heard Dr. Rice preach, and you know how preachers pray and they'll say, in Jesus' name. Well, he didn't say that. So I was curious, and I asked him, and he's the one that showed this to me, and he said, son, it's the commanded things that you have a right to ask for in Jesus' name. You're commanded to go sowing. Do you know that? Two of us do. You're commanded to go sowing. You understand that? Don't make me come back there. Now, you understand you have a right then to say in Jesus' name. You're commanded to give tithes and offerings. They're holy unto God. You have every right to say, God bless my finances in Jesus' name, because I want to obey that commandment. Find the commandments, and then you have a right in Jesus' name. I claim that in Jesus' name. That's a door. All right? Number five, the door of abiding. The door. Now, there are other doors. I'm just giving you the ones that I ran across. The door of abiding. The door of abiding. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The door of abiding. The door of abiding. We're running out of time. You're not listening very well. You know that? John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now here's what he said. The door of abiding. Two things. In Christ and in his word. Now what does that mean? The word abide is the same word for the word mansion in John chapter 14. If you will mansion in him or mansion in his words. Some of you are shacking in Jesus. You're shacking in his words. You can read 15 chapters, not get a cotton-picking, corn-pulling, pea-splitting thing out of the Bible. And then you wonder why God doesn't answer your prayer. Now, I'm not making it up. It's what it says here. Anything, if you abide in him. Some of you come to preaching, and you don't get excited about nothing. You just shack it in the preaching. Not me, buddy. Not me. I love preaching. I've got sermons. I got 100 Dr. Al sermons on my little iPod, or my iPhone. I've got Lee Robertson, I got Carl Hatch. I've got them all. I love preaching. In fact, I love reading the Bible over and over. You ever get tired of reading the Bible? There's something wrong with you. Yes. You know, and the things that are funny to me are always funny to me. I read about the 184,000 Assyrians that woke up dead. I can't help it. It's you and me, nobody else. But I can't help it. Every time I read that, when I'm on a plane or whatever, I start laughing. I was in the living room the other day, and I read that again. I just started laughing. My wife said, what are you laughing at? I said, come here. She said, 104,000. She said, well, how did they wake up dead? I said, that's what's funny about it. You wake up and go, oh, man, I think I'm dead. I'm sorry. I read about David. Supposed to go to war. Supposed he's a king. Supposed to go to work. And he starts staying home, and I scream at him, David, go to work. Don't stay home. And a stupid guy never listens to me. Now, the door of abiding. Now, are you shacking it? Do you get anything out of the Bible at all? Well, no wonder you don't have any prayer life, because it's all based on the Word of God. All right? And same thing with Christ. Now, number six, the door of importunity. That's all-night praying. The door of all-night praying. You'll find that in Luke chapter 18 and Luke chapter 11, where it talks about the word importunity. Talking about all-night praying. All-night praying. That's a door. Then number seven, the last one, and we're through. We ran out of time a long time ago. But number seven, the door of personal soul winning. The door of personal soul winning. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Turn there, please. John chapter 15 and verse 16. John chapter 15 and verse 16. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, the scripture says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now we stop there, but we ought to read the rest of it. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now turn to 1 John chapter 5. This is not a blank check for you just to simply write out anything that you want. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, please. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How do I know I'm saved? By what's written in the Bible. Not guessing at it. What's in the Bible? The Bible said it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Good enough for me. I did it. That's it. When I don't feel saved, I read that verse. Sometimes I don't feel married, but my wife reminds me that I am. It's not your feeling. It's what the Bible says. It's fact. Do you know that you're going to get dementia one of these days? Do you know that old age is going to get, it's got me already, but you're, who am I? But it's all right. Dementia is not bad because you can hide your own Easter eggs. And by the way, you can read the same newspaper every day. Now, somewhere in here, you need to understand, thank God it's not based on your memory, and it's not based on your feeling. It's based on what's written or fact in the Word of God. But the Bible doesn't stop there. He talks about salvation. Now, watch this. That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Two parts. What's written causes me to know I'm saved. But what's written can also cause me to trust Him, to believe in Him. All based on the Bible. Look at next verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, you go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court has a whole list of things. Everybody wants to go to the Supreme Court. And they'll go down and say, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. Well, what is the factor that determines what they hear and what they don't hear? Is it constitutional? If it is not a constitutional issue, the Supreme Court says, I haven't got time to mess with it. Can't fool with every little thing comes along. What does God say? Is it biblical? Is it Bible? If it's Bible, I'll hear it. Now, same thing. So, what's God say? That's my confidence. My confidence is in the boundaries of the Word of God, not every little whim that comes along. Oh, God, I want a new Lexus. Well, that's nice that you want a new Lexus or whatever they call it. The truth of the matter is, you better let God decide that. It's not found in the Bible. These health and wealth guys run around saying, health and wealth, and you can have anything you want, just ask God for it. It's not what the Bible says. Of course, they've got a different Bible, too. But it's not what the Bible says. Now, you need to understand these doors here. The last door is the door of soul winning. You may not have time. You may not have time to read another 35 chapters. You may not have time for all-night prayer. You may not have time for fasting. But boy, if you're a soul winner, don't get mad at him. He gets up and says you need to go soul winning. Because one of these days, you're going to need an answer now. And you'll be able to say, God, John 15:16, I'm a soul winner. I've got to have this now. My wife has had 38 surgeries. She almost, the last one that she had, she got a staph infection. Her leg ballooned up and actually burst the cast. I was in South Carolina preaching. I flew home quickly, and she was delirious. She didn't know me. She didn't know anybody. And I looked at that leg, and I mean, it was just huge. And you could see that streak going up the leg, and the doctor was in tears. He said, I don't know this happened so fast. He said, I don't know what to say, except she's going to lose her leg or her life. And he said, we've got one chance in 1,000 to hit that staph. You know, if you know anything about staph infection in the hospital, you can't get rid of them. That what they'll do, if you look it up on the internet, they're like little clusters of grapes. You can take care of this, but it'll morph over here, or morph over here. It's always going to be in you. He said, so I did. I went downstairs and started praying. And then I remembered John 15:16. And preacher, I went into that emergency room where a bunch of people in there had an accident and people crying. I went first, prayed with them, but I led some people to Christ. And then I came out and held my Bible up with tears, and I said, God, you said it in John 15:16. I've got to have an answer. And I went upstairs the next morning, and the doctor came in with a grin on his face. He said, we hit it the first time. Amen. Well, somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, you don't have time for fasting, do you, sometimes? Huh? Well, don't get mad at him when he says you need to go soul winning. Because there may come a time where you need an answer from God, and John 15:16 is the only hope that you got. Okay, sit up straight. Here we go. Final exam. Are you ready? I'm going to see if you pass. If you flunk this, you're going to children's church. You understand that? All right, prayer is asking and what? Receiving. All right, first is the door of faith. Whew. Number two, the door of agreement. Okay, grab somebody, throw them in the altar, and make them agree. Is that what it means? No. All right, number three, the door of prayer and? You're doing good. Number four, the door of Jesus' name. Oh, boy. Did you? Back there, sir, out. Okay, number five, the door of what? Abiding in Christ and in His words. Don't shack in Him, mansion in Him. If you're not excited about it, don't be surprised if God's not excited about your prayer. Just a thought. Number six, the door of all night praying. Number seven, the door of personal soul winning. These are doors. There are others. You'll find them as you study the Bible. But I want you to get your prayers answered. Boy, you better get more Bible, more what? Faith. Man, less Bible, less what? You better get in the Bible, and you better read it. Look, all we're doing by faith is saying, okay, God parted the Red Sea. I read that. God created the worlds. I read that. God said He's going to come back after us. I read that. And I'm stuck here in 2014, but I believe what He said He did do, and I believe what He said what He's going to do, so I'm going to take that from the Word of God and exercise, step out and do what I'm supposed to do today. Because I believe Him. I believe what He said. You say, you believe all that stuff about Jonah and a whale? I sure do. I sure do. If God had said Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd believe that. Why, you ignorant fundamentalist. Yeah, yeah, and you, never mind. mixed crowd, I can't say it. But anyway, I'm kidding. I was joking there, all right. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you. Give the pastor a hand, would you please?